Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Jesse Minter and new Ravens coordinators Declan Doyle, Anthony Weaver, and Anthony Levine met with the media in Owings Mills on Wednesday.
Welcome back. Thank you guys for being here. This is an exciting day, a great day for the Ravens. Introduce these three guys who will be a huge piece of our operation, our organization, all three in leadership roles on the coaching staff, and so couldn't be more excited about them. Start off with defense coordinator Anthony Weaver. A lot of you guys know him. 15 years in the NFL, was here before, has 3 years of play calling experience as well, and he knows what it means to be a Raven, and that was a huge piece of it. But most importantly, more so than his experience here, more so than his experience in Miami or wherever, he's a leader, he's a connector, he's a relationship builder. There's nobody, I don't think there's anybody that'll get more out of our guys than him. And he's been in their shoes, he'll do a great job with our defense, look forward to working with him, and couldn't be more excited to have him. Declan Doyle, our offensive coordinator, eight years in the league now, offensive coordinator with the Chicago Bears last season. Been in the league, like I said, for a while. The thing that stood out to me about him is he's a connector. He's a collaborator. He's creative. He's got a great vision for what our offense should look like. We see football the same way and what it takes to be successful when it comes to creating standards, being very detailed, doing things at a high level. He's been phenomenal to work with so far. Very excited about him and his ability to lead our offense. And then Anthony Levine, our special teams coordinator. Anthony was a player when I was here the first time, but I just picture him as the face of Baltimore special teams. He was that as a player. He was the captain of our special teams at a very high level under multiple coaches here. He's now been into the coaching ranks for 4 years. He's earned this position. This isn't like he was just handed this position. He's earned the right to be in this position, and he'll be a great leader for our special teams. Again, a connector, relationship builder, couldn't be more excited. So these three guys will help us create the vision of what we want the team to be like, how we want to play. We want to be a physically dominant team that's really plays together, plays well-connected, plays football the right way, and couldn't be more excited about these three guys. So we'll turn it over to Weave for a few words from each of them, and then we'll open it up for questions.
First off, a lot of familiar faces. Hi, guys. How are you doing? Obviously, incredible, special moment. Thanks, Coach, for the kind words. Every time I've stepped in this place, it's been special, right? First as a draft pick, getting to live a lifelong dream of being in the NFL, coming back many years later as a coach with a few more grays, but with the same goal in mind, trying to lead, serve, and help in any way I can to help deliver a championship for the Baltimore. And now it's no different. No different title, different role, but still here to serve and help in any way I can. So extremely excited to be here and be with these guys and know we have everything we need to get it done.
Yeah, so I'm Declan, obviously. Hi to everybody out there. And first of all, I want to just say thank you and what a privilege it is to be here and sitting up here. Thank you to Jesse and the organization. Our staff is already, put together and hard at work. To be ready for when our guys get here April 6th. We're really fired up about that. But just really excited to be here, really excited to start building this thing really from the ground. Like Jesse said, we see the game very similarly. He talked about in the interview process, he was looking for somebody like him on the offensive side of the ball, and I certainly feel that way about him, across the ball the other way. And so fired up to be here and looking forward to getting to know all you guys.
Hello, good morning. I just want to say I want to thank Steve Pisciotti. I want to thank Eric DaCosta. I want to thank Ozzie Newsome. And I want to thank Jesse for giving me this opportunity. When I came here in 2012, I couldn't even imagine me even being able to sit in this position. And I'm just so thankful and I'm grateful for the opportunity. These guys, working with these guys every day, seeing the way these guys play, seeing the way these guys work. Being, like Jesse said, I could be the face or being the face of the special teams, it means something, and playing like a Raven. And that's what we do here. It's a culture here. We're here to win games. and we're here to win championships. And that's what we strive to do, and that's what we're going to do. So I just appreciate and I'm thankful to be in this situation. And Jesse, man, I'm so thankful for you speaking highly of me. And that's it.
Question. Declan, welcome to Baltimore. I know a lot of fans were interested. You know, how many times have you spoken with Lamar, and what's kind of your vision for Lamar in this offense?
I've been able to speak to him a few times. One of them was in the interview process. I was able to sit with him for, I don't know, over an hour on a Zoom call while he was down in Florida and be able to kind of – we talked about a lot of different subjects, but kind of go through, you know, his time in the past here, kind of what his vision is for what he needs to be able to operate at the highest level. And I really wanted to see, you know, if we were compatible and if that was a fit. And you're trying to figure out what the coaching structure is going to look like in that way. And so got a chance to visit with him then, have had a chance to visit with him a few more times since then, exchanged some texts, and certainly very excited about the caliber player he is. But also just in all the conversations, his willingness to listen, his hunger to learn, his hunger to grow. I think he does. He is a guy with a growth mindset that, you know, he's played at a really high level, and still I think that he wants to continue to work and feels like he can get better. And so me and the rest of the staff are really excited to chase that with him.
Declan, you know, obviously you guys are close in age. You talked about that the other day where you don't view that as a disadvantage and actually view it kind of as an advantage. Why do you think that's the case, and how so?
I think, first of all, it starts with any of our players is the relationship that you build. And so it actually is a little bit easier for me to connect with guys because we are the same age. We grew up in the same world. And I've kind of had that experience every step of the way through my coaching journey. You know, I started, this is going to be my 11th year coaching, and I've pretty much been younger than every guy in the room I've been in. I've always been too young for every job I've ever had. And what I've noticed is that, you know, it really doesn't matter. Knowledge is power. And if they feel like you can help them and they feel like you can help accelerate their career and our goals as a team, guys are willing to listen. Guys are willing to be taught and to grow and to work together. And so it is a collaboration. I do think it gives me a little bit of a unique advantage just in the fact that we kind of come from the same world.
Jesse talked about the vision you have for what you want the offense to look like. At its best, this offense under Lamar has been one of the more elite offenses in the league. How different do you want your offense to look?
That's a good question. So I would say this. The way we want our offense to look, the non-negotiables, are that we are physical, okay? We're detailed, and we're explosive. Those are the three things that are pillars that we want to hang our hat on. I think it'd be challenging for me to speak on what's happened here in the past other than what's on tape that I've seen. Certainly in 2024, this offense was, you know, something to be reckoned with and something that we're actively chasing to kind of get back to. But when I talk about physicality, it's those guys on the perimeter being willing to block, you know, our guys up front coming off the ball and really trying to impose their will on the defense, trying to, you know, create expansion in the defense in the run game. Us being detailed just across the board, whether that is, you know, in the passing game, the route detail, the quarterback's footwork, his eyes, all those things, or how all of our jobs fit together in the run game. And then the explosive piece is, you know, partly players, part coaching, really chasing, you know, explosive plays in the game plan process, trying to stress defenses and things like that. And so that's really my vision for what the offense is. And that's kind of the way me and Jesse have discussed it. And obviously that can look different ways depending on your personnel. And we're still in the early stages of really stripping this down to the studs and then rebuilding it around the personnel that we have here.
Jesse, is your goal to hit the ground running? I mean, obviously that's everyone's goal, but this team is expected to contend for a Super Bowl right away, so there's no rebuild. I mean, there's no grace period. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we're on a sprint as a coaching staff up until April 6th to make sure that we're ready for the players. And then when they get here, it's about creating an environment that they feel great about, that they feel like they're becoming better, that they feel like they're improving, they feel like they're becoming the best version of themselves. And then we certainly want to have – you know, we want everybody to have high expectations from the outside. We want to build standards inside that match what we want the results to be. And I think if we do that, we have a hungry group that is coming off of a year that they're not as proud of as some of the previous seasons. And so there is a hunger amongst the players to get right back to work and hit the ground running.
Jesse, you've already talked that you plan to call the defense on game days. How much dialogue during the interview process did you have with Anthony about that? And how does that dynamic work to make sure you're doing all you need to do as a head coach throughout the week and he does everything that needs to be done defensively, that it's seamless come Sundays on game day?
Yeah, we certainly had conversations about that. So he understood what the job was going to be. But I also was looking for a leader and somebody that could run that room. I know I'm not going to be able to be in there maybe quite as much as I was as just the defensive coordinator. And so the leadership piece, the knowledge piece, we've ran similar schemes the last couple years where he's been at, where I've been at. He obviously came from here before. So there's so many great qualities of him knowing the surroundings, knowing what it means to be a Raven, knowing how we're trying to kind of rebrand that a little bit and make it a new age way to play like a Raven. And so I'm super confident in Anthony's ability to lead our defense and then us to work very, very close together in the game planning process. And a lot of times, and you know, Declan was in a similar situation last year. And so we've talked about that where it's really like they're able to do a lot of that work and be prepared as if they're even going to call the game, and then knowing that at the end of the day, that's the role I'm going to have on game day.
Anthony, what did you think of pass rush last season? And what did you think of the back end at the secondary? You can rush these guys on the film, so you got to have some conclusions there.
Yeah, we certainly have rushers, right? I think it took a hit with losing Justin Madubuike. I think we all know the effect that losing him had on this defense. But from a talent standpoint, we certainly have some dudes that can get there. In the back end, we have talent all across the board. Right, I think the first guy that comes to mind is Kyle Hamilton. Right? He is the ultimate chess piece. You can do so many things with him. And you go back a corner with Nate Wiggins, and in the back with Malachi Starks, Roquan. I mean, we have talent, so much talent on this defense that as a coordinator, like, I can't help but get up here and just smile and be happy about it because your options are limitless in what you want to do. So feel really good about both of those things.
It's Kyle Gunn from Baltimore Banner. You know, if a few years ago, you know, I think a lot of us considered you a candidate to be defensive coordinator here in Baltimore potentially. You know, when you did not get that job and when you went to Miami, what was your reaction at that time? And what do you kind of take away from your experience as a DC in Miami that you think can help you now?
Yeah. My reaction at that particular time wasn't much of a reaction at all, right? I think that'd probably be a question more suited for John, who I love and respect. And I love Zach Orr. Shoot, I coached Zach in college, right? So it's not like when it happened, I was like, oh, come on, what are we doing around here? That's a fine. You know, it's not like when that hire happened, I was shocked because I have so much love and respect for Zach, too. So it certainly made sense. Going to Miami was just an opportunity, right? It was an opportunity to go and show I can lead a defense again as a coordinator. So I jumped at it. And I'm going to be honest, like, the no state taxes and being in sunny South Florida that was a plus too, right? But a lot of learning experiences there. Thought we had a very connected group that flew around, played fast, physical, with elite technique and fundamentals. And we're trying to recreate the same thing here, but even better, and try to step it up a notch. So hopefully that answered your question.
Anthony, welcome back to Baltimore. After getting so much head coaching interest in this cycle, I guess, why were you willing to come back to a place where you won't be calling a play?
Yeah, this is this job and being with Coach Minner and the staff and these players is hardly a consolation prize, right? And I'd be lying to you to say that I wasn't disappointed that I didn't get a head job. But ultimately, I just came back to, why am I doing this to begin with, right? Selfishly, I'm in it to try to win a Super Bowl, right, to be part of a group that's forever, right? So just like you had the 25th anniversary of that 2000 team list last year, like, I want that. I want to be a part of that. Secondly, like, I'm here to serve, right? I'm here to serve players and help them reach whatever God-given potential they have. I don't need to be a head coach to do that. I can certainly do that from this seat. And incredibly proud to be the coordinator here in Baltimore, because I think if the defensive coordinator to me in Baltimore, that's like the main defensive coordinator in National Football League. You're the dude. And I feel that way about this job.
Just
Declan, you've been an assistant, you've been a coordinator. This is the first time you've led your own program. Who will you lean on as you come up to OTAs and the draft and camp and everything? I mean, your dad has done it at the college level. Any mentors that you can lean on as you go through some of these things for the first time?
Yeah, I think, first of all, lean on the people in the building that have been here for a long time, Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome, the guys that have a lot of institutional knowledge of this place. Certainly have that, having been around both John and Jim over the last 8 or 9 years. Mike McDonald's a close friend who I'll bounce a lot of things off of over the next couple months. And so I feel like I got a lot of people in my corner that are willing to help and listen. But I've also just been preparing for this. And so this isn't like, hey, I got the job, now I got to call people and figure out what I want to do. I've been preparing for this moment, and I feel good about the plan that we have to build a great team here.
Declan, you were OC in Chicago. This will be your first time as a primary play caller. What challenges does that present being the play caller?
Yeah, obviously it's a very different job. My job in Chicago was to support Ben and support our offense and try to get our guys on the same page. I was a communicator. I was a collaborator. And to try to build it, just like Jesse said, I was trying to build it when Ben wasn't in the room so that when he stepped in, things hit the ground running, the table was set, and we could save a lot of time and be efficient. And then whenever he wasn't in the room, I was running that meeting. But at the end of the day, he was the final stamp on anything we were doing as an offense. Certainly we all had ideas as a staff, but it all kind of came down to what he wanted to do. And so this is a different role where now I'm the one stamping it and kind of leading the staff. And so there are similarities in the jobs because there were parts of it then that, you know, you're in front of the room a lot. But now, you know, being the last guy to kind of see it, articulating the vision, being able to sell that to the players, and then ultimately being able to call the plays on game day was what attracted me to this opportunity.
To kind of follow up on that, what kind of prep have you done to prepare as a play caller? Because, I mean, is there something that Ben did that you, you know, tracked? Is there... you know, any prep while you were OC where you're sort of like, okay, if I call this, I might do that. How does it prepare?
I've been preparing for a long time, obviously. As soon as you kind of step into this job, you start to be a part of the process of the game planning. And so more so than anything, like, yes, you are calling a play on game day, but the prep during the week is where the work exists. And the game planning and being able to shoot holes in things and work with others. The one area where I have prepared to actually call it every game that I've been a part of in the NFL, I go out, you know, 3 hours early and I'll walk the field and kind of basically simulate 4 drives. And I've done that since I got in the league in 2019 as a quality control coach in New Orleans, because I knew that I was really young when I got hired there. I was 22, and I knew that the first time I was going to call plays probably wasn't going to be in a smaller setting. It was probably going to be with the bright lights, and I felt like I needed to prepare for that early. So in that way, you know, I've kind of been preparing just to be able to call it and kind of how your mind works. But really, the work during the week is what counts, and that's been a part of really every job that I've had.
Coach Levine, congrats on your position. Just curious, you've been here as a player coach and were here last year. How much do you think the experience of that, being with some of these guys last year, will help you make the transition this year in your position, in that they know you and you know a lot of them?
Thank you, Mr. Cliff. And that's a great question. And with me being here as a player and me being here as a coach, and especially being here, coming back here last year, being around these guys and talking to them all the time and getting to know them and connecting with them, but building a relationship with them. Like, even now, I got a call. It's crazy that you asked that, because I got a call last night from a player who flew here. Keandre, he's sitting in the back, to come here. So that speaks the volume of the type of players that we have and the type of connection that I have with these guys. You know, and they understand the standard. They understand the culture. So me and Chris did a great job of always putting me in front of the room. So as soon as I got back, Chris has always put me in front of the room. My leadership style, the way I interact with them, the way I challenge them, the way we hold each other accountable. With that being said, these guys, they respect me. We don't talk a lot about how much I did when I played, because it's not about what I did when I played, because it's more about them, and it's more about me being able to teach them to go out there and be be productive and have a great career that they want to have.
So, Anthony, are you aware of the tradition here with the special teams? Going back to Scott O'Brien, Jermaine Lewis, and Ben Thompson, all those guys?
Was I aware of the tradition? Well, when I first got here, I had a lot of great veterans. And I could probably run them off, but one that comes to mind who I see every day is Jamil McClain. And Jamil McClain did a great job of pulling me to the side and letting me know the standard. So if it was something that he felt like I should have done better, I did that. But then at the same time, my coaches, Jerry Rosberg held me to a standard that I feel like he held no man, you know. But he also loved me, you know, and he'll call me up to his office all the time, and we wouldn't just talk about football. So one thing about Jerry, he was coaching me, but he was also teaching me at the same time. And the same thing with Chris Horton. If it weren't for Chris Horton, I mean, I talk to Chris all the time, and he also helped prepare. So, but to answer the question, I know I'm kind of going, but to know, Juice Man, OJ emails me all the time. So, and before games, Juice Man texts me. After games, Juice Man texts me. So, and it was always back and forth with Juice Man about who's the better special teams player, me or him. You know what I'm saying? But I would give it to Juice Man just out of respect for him. So, but the culture here, you come into this building, and Isaac Newsom, the first thing he's going to tell you is, I pay you to make plays on special teams. So I expect you to make plays on special teams. And he told me that. So that right there told me off the muscle that I better start making plays on special teams. So and we know that, and we know special teams is not just go out there and just play special teams. Special teams, we are here to make sure that we impact the game in a positive way. And
Jesse, as you filled in the staff beyond just these three guys, we saw all different kinds of backgrounds, levels of experience. Were you looking at it as kind of a total picture of like, well, maybe this piece balances out this piece? And I mean, how did you sort of look at the whole puzzle?
Yeah, you definitely look at specifically, I think, each side of the ball as a puzzle to making sure that, you know, Declan has his experiences and where he's been. You want him to be surrounded by people that can help him do the job at the highest level. So there's a few that maybe he's worked with prior. There's also a few that maybe I have history with. And then there's different levels of experience, and there's different levels of guys that have been play callers, passing game coordinators, all those different types of things that can really help support a younger, newer play caller that I felt like maybe I had as I was coming up as that type of position. And then on defense, you know, I'm really looking for teachers, connectors, fundamentalists, and how they'll teach the guys how to play defense and what we expect how to play defense like the Ravens need to play defense. And so it really was irrelevant of pro experience, college experience, years of experience. It was being able to go through an interview process, connect with these guys, see what they would be like in front of the room, see what they would be like connecting with players, their technique backgrounds. So it all fits together as a puzzle, like you mentioned. And then in special teams, same thing. We have a very experienced Randy and Ben helping our special teams with Anthony. So I think fitting all that together, you're trying to put that room in the best position to be successful by blending all the different experiences.
Jesse, as you were going through the OC search, was there anyone who put you on the Declan? It was a name that kind of jumped out of nowhere for us. And as you were, you know, going through the process with them, were there any recommendations that you got from him or anything that just kind of sold you on his, you know, abilities to help this job?
Yeah, I think as you go through this process, a year ago, was being talked about as a head coach candidate. So then I think like in the off season, spent more time like studying different systems around the league and the kind of what you would maybe envision, what you would want your offensive system to be. And so certainly have a ton of respect for Ben Johnson, obviously the head coach in Chicago and the system that he had in Detroit, now Chicago. And so the basis was really looking at systems and then kind of, you know, heard a lot of great things about Declan from a lot of people. It's hard to pinpoint one, but everybody that had been around him, everybody was very, very highly recommended by current head coaches in the league at various places. Other people that had tried to get him the year prior when he ended up going to Chicago. So very highly recommended. A guy that I think is where age is just a number. This is his eighth year in the National Football League, and he's worked his way up. And so I think he's really well prepared for this opportunity. I also, as I went through it, a guy that was with a first-year team last year, like a new staff as the offensive coordinator, so going through that first-year installation, I thought that was a major benefit. As we got to know each other better, that would help us here.
Jesse, you know, you brought up Mike and how close you guys are. Not to take your eyes off your own paper, but obviously Mike just won a Super Bowl, and this is the first time we talked to you since then. Does anything about the Seahawks, their success in the postseason, the turnaround that Mike had in Seattle, inform how you think you might be able to rise to a similar level? Obviously, you have Coach Weaver here, who was on the defense when it was elite, you know, in 2023. Is there some pieces that you kind of look at in Seattle and say, hey, maybe we can do some of that here?
Yeah, I think it's knowing Mike and I worked together here, kind of came up, knowing how he thinks about the game, how I think about the game. There's a lot of similarities. And so just seeing happy for him, proud of him, now chasing him, you know, chasing the team that wins a Super Bowl. That's what we're doing. So stoked that for the success that he's had. Certainly feel like, yeah, there's some things that we could do that would hopefully mirror some of that and look like that. We know that the standards here in Baltimore are really high, and the expectations on the outside are really high. We want that. We embrace that. And so we're looking forward to going on our own journey here, trying to accomplish things together with this group of guys. But certainly, you know, I think you can always learn from the teams that are doing well and taking things that they do well, taking ideas from other people. And so certainly, you know, looked at those guys closely and try to do some things.
See, this scenario is unique for the Ravens. The last time the Ravens had a new head coach and three new coordinators, Declan wasn't even born. It was Ted Marchibroda, and it was the inaugural year of the Ravens. So as the leader, as the culture setter, how do you balance so much change in an organization that's been built on foundational consistency?
I think there's a great piece of being here before and understanding the foundation, understanding a lot of the history, understanding what this place has been built on, while also having formulated some of my own different ideas over the last few years. And so I think there's a foundational way that the Ravens play that we need to play like, but I also think that there's a new age, you know, and a new way to do things. And that's the reason we're all sitting up here, you know, is that change can be embraced, change can energize people. And so we really look forward to, you know, I think it'll be up to everybody watching us to see, like, oh, what's different about it? You know, not necessarily us, but everybody watching to determine what maybe the differences are.
Jesse, how were you able to get so much out of Odafe Ogbe once he came to you guys out there in Los Angeles? And could he be wearing a Ravens uniform once again?
Dafa, we, you know, made a trade, picked him up. We, at the time, needed an edge rusher. And I know, you know, Joe and Eric obviously worked out the trade. I think we just created an environment for him that he played with a lot of confidence, simplified some things that we were asking him to do, allowed him at times to have a little more freedom as a pass rusher. I know he's earned the right to be a free agent now, and he had a really good statistical ending to his initial contract in the NFL. So he's earned the right to be a free agent. So he'll have every opportunity to, you know, look at it all and do all that. And I know Eric and the guys will make great decisions of who we bring in here in free agency.
Over the past several years, the Ravens seem to have been snake-bitten a fourth quarter, losing leads, losing games that they should have won. Is that a mindset? And how do you turn that around?
Yeah, I think it's just how you operate and do things every day, right? It's not one of those things where people say, fourth quarter, you feel this pressure, you're going to rise to the occasion. I don't believe that. I think you just fall to the level of what your standards are. So as Jess hit up here, when you're talking about standards and expectations, let's make sure we're fulfilling those and reaching those standards and expectations every single day. That's what's going to win in the fourth, right? It's not going to be like, hey, let's turn it up a notch. Well, what were you doing the first three quarters? Like, let's keep whatever that notch is. Let's keep our foot on the gas every single play, and then the results will take care of themselves.
Anthony, Sam Cohen, Baltimore Sun. Over the past 2 years, there's been a lot of talk in the locker room about just the idea of getting the Ravens defense back to being feared. Curious, one, if that's been in your purview at all, and two, for you in this defense, what might that look like?
You know, it's funny because I you say that, and I instantly go back to this shirt from when I was like a rookie. They used to say it's better to be feared than loved, right? And had a Baltimore Raven on it. I know it wasn't like an officially issued shirt, but I go straight to that. And ultimately, I just think it's about how we play, right? It's about us like going out there and flying around to the ball, having 11 guys connected, right, that are in a flow state, that kind of know what each other's doing, and we're just flying around. It looks like a pack of wolves. It looks like we have 13 guys out there. That's what we're chasing, defeating blocks. If you get a chance to intimidate and hit somebody, let's do it. Let's make sure we do that. But the one thing I know is just having been with so many of these guys prior, like, they have that. It's ingrained in their DNA. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. So we're just trying to get back to that standard. You know, I don't know what happened the last 2 years. I know when I turn on the tape, there's still a lot of things you get excited about. We just got to make sure we're more consistent in those actions to get back to where we want to be.
And Anthony, do you agree with that?
I have to watch the draft to find out.
That's above my pay grade, man.
Thanks. With Lamar, I think you said the other day, you know, he has a higher ceiling to him. I'm curious what you've studied of him, what you've looked at so far, what specifically stands out as areas where you feel like he can really excel, you know, in a technical aspect.
So with Lamar, obviously the biggest thing with him that's a challenge to defend for a defense is that they have to defend two plays on every play. So they have to defend the first play that we call, that we have designed and game planned and, you know, trying to stress the defense, and then they have to defend the second element, which is him creating on his own that second act. The stuff that he's done since he was a kid. That first play can be more consistent at times with his eyes, with his footwork, within the system. That's kind of what I've noticed as we've watched the tape. That's stuff that as soon as he gets in here, I'm really fired up to sit with him and start to talk through a lot of that stuff, because you don't always get the full picture until you're really sitting with a player and talking, you know, how were you being coached or what were you supposed to be looking at? And once you start to be able to have that dialogue, that's where progress exists. But that really is, you know, I want to have a growth mindset with every one of our players that when they come in here, they feel like they can get better. Our whole, you know, our offensive staff, I'm sure they're doing it on defense as well, has looked at each of our guys. They've kind of made these points, these action plans as far as how we're going to improve this offseason, three different areas that they're going to get better at. You know, he's no exception to that.
And going to follow up on that, you know, obviously Caleb had a great season this past year. And, you know, those fourth quarter, when we were talking about, made some magic. When you kind of look at the, you know, defending two plays setup that you were just talking about there, what is sort of your balance or the balance you've seen from your time in Chicago of kind of, especially when the game is on the line, you know, calling set plays or trusting sort of an improvisational quarterback to make something happen?
Yeah, it's always going to start with a set play called. It's not ever just like, hey, you know, you call scramble. That happens naturally. It happens within the game. And so it's always going to be – it's going to start with, you know, whatever we feel like is going to put our players in the best position to go have success. That's our wideouts. That's our offensive line, making sure that that's shored up and the plays that we're running are sound. And then it's coaching the fundamentals and the details of when that second play exists, when he does evade, when he leaves the pocket and flushes, the responses of, you know, all of the receivers, the offensive line, so that our spacing is correct in the passing game and we are able to he's erasing and he's able to chase, you know, more explosive gains just with that second act. And that was really what we found with Caleb was the same thing. You know, the quarterback is the eraser. Of game planning errors or mistakes. Like if there's something where, you know, we expected a certain coverage and we didn't get it, at times the quarterback's got to put the cape on and go be Superman. And so in a lot of ways, that's the similarity between their games is that, you know, Lamar does have the ability to go do that at times.
Jesse, what was the process like of you hiring your dad to this staff? And obviously, what are you most looking forward to working with him on this season?
It was probably the easiest hire out of the 20, I don't know how many people total. Hey, do you want a job with the Ravens? Yeah, that'd be great. But I think just like when you have the person around that will always tell you the truth, that will always tell you, not necessarily have an agenda and tell you what you want to hear, will tell you the truth, and knowing that nobody has my best interest, maybe more so than my own dad, obviously my family and stuff like that. And so that's what I enjoy about it. So whether it's a defensive idea or just an overall overarching philosophy idea, just to have that person is special.
Declan, you mentioned that sprint to April 6th, and then obviously a month after that, you guys started with PAs. You talked about how a lot of this offense will be new. What are your expectations for attendance, considering just how much is being built here from players, considering it's voluntary?
Yeah, we would expect them to be here, and certainly it is voluntary. And so, but it's also, you know, if you want to say that you're going to win a championship, you want to say that you have championship standards and those are your goals and your expectations, certainly that's going to take work, that's going to take collaboration, that's going to take the beginning of building the relationship with their coaches, other players, you know, starting off this this next regime on the right foot. And so that would be those guys getting in here, us being able to work with them hands-on and be able to kind of get this thing going in the direction that we want to, and you know, making improvements so that we set ourselves up where when we come back in for training camp, we hit the ground running, we already have kind of shared knowledge, shared language, and we're able to go right to work.
And two more. Anthony, you're in a unique position. You have played for Jesse in the past. What do you remember from those experiences, and is there anything that stood out about him that maybe not saying, oh, he'll be a head coach one day, but would climb up the ladder and become a more prominent coach as his career went?
Jesse, being in the room with Jesse, he did a great job of connecting with us. You know, he was great at that, and he also told us what we needed to hear and not what we wanted to hear. So if it's, you know, everybody trying to go out, you know, it's times where players want to go and seek comfort. You want to go and seek comfort, you know, and Jesse always was there with us. He was he made sure that we did what we needed to do, you know. But at the end of the day, it was the way that he was able to connect with us and build a relationship with us that made him special, you know. And we did everything we could to make sure that we could make plays and we'll come in and, you know, we'll joke around, but when it was time to be serious and it was time to get on us and it was time to hold us accountable, he did that. But he did that, and that's what we love about it.
But I don't know if anyone flew up like Keandre for you. Who are some of the players you still have relationships with that you've been with since you got this job?
Yeah, a ton, right? Mostly the front guys, right? So it was good to see Travis and talk to Matt at BK, T-Rob, all those guys. Shooting in a bunch of guys that aren't here anymore. Right, your Calais Campbells, Jelly, a bunch of guys, man. Brandon Williams, a bunch of guys. So mostly front guys, man. But had relationships with all guys up and down the defense, right? Particularly once I became the assistant head coach, like I tried to make sure I had touch points with all those guys to try to help them in whatever way I could. Maybe that was on the field, off the field, but just trying to be a positive influence in their life.
Thank you.